In creating this, you might actually be alienating the very audience that you're trying to reach. The day you stop learning is the day you die, I think. Always have that openness and be willing to hear something, even if your first instinct is opposition. Losing that human-to-human connection, otherwise we're just going to have AIs talking to AIs at the end of the day. I was reading something just recently on LinkedIn, and it was about the doorman fallacy. And it was, can a doorman be replaced by technology? Absolutely. You press a button, you explain who you are, it automatically looks up a list of people who are or aren't allowed in the building. Door opens, door doesn't open. Then you miss the people who might be hanging around outside the building, or that greeting in the morning of good morning or good afternoon or how are you doing. Those little pieces of connection are lost.
What does it mean to be human in a world where technology is meant to make everything easier? That is the paradox at the heart of Tara Christensen's work. As National Customer Training Manager at REA Group, she spent the last decade helping real estate agents navigate an industry that is becoming increasingly digital, yet somehow more dependent on genuine human connection than ever before. She's not one of those tech skeptics who thinks we need to choose between innovation and authenticity. Instead, she's figured out something way more interesting, and that's how to use technology to become more human, not less. Tara started as a real estate agent herself in Washington, D.C., moved to Australia, and has since delivered over 45 presentations across 5 states in just 6 months, teaching agents how to build their digital brands while staying true to themselves. So today, we're going to explore that tension between efficiency and authenticity with someone who's made it pretty much her life's mission to solve it. So Tara Christensen, welcome to Thought Leaders.
Thank you so much. I think I might have to steal that as my new bio.
Yeah, it took me a while. And you did see the dossier I came up with on you. I normally don't show anyone that.
I love that. I think it was great because I was like, oh, that's a really nice way of putting that. I've never thought of it that way.
Yeah, it's, you know, like sometimes I look at obviously all of the nice things that ChatGPT Deep Research said about you are all true. But I do look at some people's profiles that I do and I think, flattery will get you everywhere.
Yes, well, I think, isn't it that AI is kind of skewed to making us happy right now?
Yeah, it definitely is. Obviously, you know a lot of people in the real estate industry through your role at REA, but I mean, some of our listeners might not know that you were actually a real estate agent yourself back in Washington, D.C., and then you kind of jumped the fence and then went to helping other agents with their digital profiles. Take me, if you can, to the moment when you realized that the biggest challenge wasn't learning new tech, but staying human while using it.
I was lucky enough when I first started in 2006. I was actually licensed in both Virginia and Washington, D.C. And I was lucky enough in 2008 to meet who they call the RENet over in the United States, which was a group of people who were bloggers primarily, because that was the big medium at the time, the big new tech medium at the time, on Twitter, because that's what we used to do back then. And we would get together at all these conferences and share ideas. And while I was doing that, while I was also an active real estate agent, I was also training people within my office and kind of learning about what's the roadblock here. And a lot of times it was either that they thought that the technology was going to do everything for them, and so it was going to take them out of the equation completely. And so there was some friction there. Or that, you know, it was just too hard for them to understand because it was, you know, bits and bytes and WordPress backends and all kinds of things that just really irritate the crap out of people. And I understood that. Like, I understood that that's where that comes from. And so it was really, how is it that we can still use that technology as a tool to better ourselves, whether that's as humans or as real estate agents or wherever we are in our businesses, but also retain that humanity and that human piece and make sure that that stays true? Because you've probably seen many times the quote, people buy people. And I do believe that in service industry in general, and I do believe that real estate is a service industry. And I think that it's a relationship business. And so when you have industries that are based off of service, based off of relationships, I think it's really important to have that, that kind of dichotomy, duality. Sometimes I guess they're at odds with each other, and sometimes they work seamlessly with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. What was the first technology that you played with that made you question like the balance between efficiency and humanity?
It's probably going to be some prop tech somewhere like back in the late, like 2008, 2009, 2010. a lot of times, and I probably couldn't give you a specific example, but I do remember thinking at the time, this is incredible. Then I thought, wait, are you trying to replace real estate agents, or are you actually just helping, you know, augment whatever it is that they do? And when I realized that there was probably more of the replacement than the augmentation focus, that's when I started to kind of go, oh, so there's actually tech people aren't always just in it to help us. Like, they're in it to sell a product, and they're in it to, you know, sell that product on, and they're not necessarily thinking about who that might affect at the end of the day, or who that actual audience might be. And so, you know, in creating this, you might actually be alienating the very audience that you're trying to reach. And I still see that actually when I meet with certain prop techs, or I hear about certain things that are out there, and even with the use of AI, obviously, today. And so, I mean, AI obviously blew me away when it first came out. It was just, what amazing little creature is this, and where is this going to take us? And now it's a monster that's all over the world. So it's been really interesting, because you know, I think the big thing was that you always hear, oh, that's not going to work. You know, that's not for me. That's for everybody else. That's for smarter people. That's for this. That's for people with more time. That's for whatever. But at the end of the day, it's not. It's for all of us. It's just, we have to figure out, does this make sense in our business? How can it make sense in our business? And what can we do to better it? And that's part of what you do really well, is explaining that to people.
Oh, thank you. I try. But it is hard, because, you know, like, you do, like, I mean, I'm sort of thinking, oh, I guess it's a quote that just because you can walk across the road into oncoming traffic doesn't mean you necessarily should, you know. And I sort of see some technology like that. It's like, we pick it up and we play with it, and it's not necessarily, it's designed to make our lives easier, but maybe it's not a good consumer experience. And I think, you know, maybe that's where, certainly I've got some questions around that today to ask you about how you feel about some of the products and services that we've seen over the last few years, because I don't know anyone else who's got as much experience in it as you do, I think.
Well, is that a really nice way of saying I'm old? Or...
No.
No, I've been very lucky to have different positions in my life, especially once I joined the real estate industry, of being introduced to a number of different people across a wide span of things, being mentor for different prop tech ventures and VCs. I have been very lucky in that space, and I really appreciate it, because it's given me a better understanding and a better intuition about, is this really going to, like, is this something that makes sense, or is this not something that makes sense at the end of the day? And because I always try to approach it from, if this were my business, whether as a director or principal or as an agent, what would I do with it? You know, is this something I could easily implement into my workflow without disrupting too much, without tearing it all down and starting from the beginning? And a lot of times it's yes, and sometimes it's absolutely not. And it could be the best product in the world, but if it doesn't make sense at the end of the day, in your business, then you shouldn't be using it.
Yeah, yeah. So you have, as I said, I think 45 presentations in 6 months, if ChatGPT is accurate with that, across 5 states.
Which I think that was last year, actually, so I don't even know what it is this year.
it needs a knowledge update. You're constantly teaching others new things, but you're also learning yourself at an incredible pace. Like, I know some of the chats that we've had about AI and stuff like that, for people that are always busy, they say, oh, you know, like, there's so much going on, but I'm so busy. How do you maintain that curiosity, that space for learning, rather, while helping others?
It's an interesting one, because I kind of always thought everyone was as curious as I was. And, like, probably when I've started to work with, there's another national customer training manager, and he's like, how do you, but I can't absorb all of that and then take this on. You know, he has strengths, a lot of different strengths, but that's not one of them. And for me, it's just, I'm a speed reader. It's easy for me to digest things pretty quickly. Because of past experience, I'm able to kind of take things and go, is this something that I need to hold on to and pay attention to or not? But, you know, the day you stop learning is the day you die, I think. So, you know, always have that openness and be willing to hear something, even if your first instinct is opposition, even if your first instinct is, that's not going to work for me. I still believe that you still have to hear things out. you don't have to spend too much time with it, but you still have to hear some things out just to go, yeah, actually, I do need to make a plan for that. Or maybe that's not my wheelhouse and I'm not going to be able to absorb that. That's not my strength. But let me find somebody that I can include in my business or bring into my business to help educate or keep us at least upskilled enough that we stay relevant and on par with the other people that are coming up. And so for me, it's an important thing, but it's also just one of my core values. One of my core values is curiosity. And so I subscribe to way too many newsletters. I have a Substack addiction. I read Elite Agent. I read all kinds of different, things that come out, and I'm always paying attention to internal memos that are happening within the business as well. So, even though they are really way smarter than I am, and they're talking about stuff that's way above anything I could possibly understand, I still try. And then I go, does this make sense for me and for my audience or not? And if it doesn't, then I can kind of flush it out of my brain and then focus on something else. And that's pretty much how I've lived my entire life. So.
And like something I've because I thank you for saying you have a Substack problem, so do I. It's such a rabbit hole of interesting. Actually, before we go any further, do you have any favorites on Substack?
See, I knew you would put me on the spot, and I couldn't read one out to you. There was an AI one that I was subscribed to for a while. He had so much information in it, I couldn't absorb it. So I was like, I can't right now. Like, I'll come back. I will say I have guilty pleasure ones, but I'm not going to share those as
There's one I can recommend for you actually that you might
Okay.
like. And I don't know who writes it. It's called Signal. Signal as in Signull. So it's sort of like,
Oh,
and I
okay, yeah.
think you'll appreciate the name. It's sort of like a play between signal and noise.
Just found it, just
There
subscribing.
you go. It's live. This is being recorded live. There you go.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
that guy challenges my thinking, and I think, Substack is one of those places where there's maybe it's the new Twitter. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I do think I find that a lot of people are leaving. It's the magazine readers, but it's a kind of a safer space for people to read. They can comment and engage if they want to. They can lurk if they want to, which is very similar to old Twitter. And they still can get, really, I think, valuable information. Sometimes some of the best stuff is from the comments or from, just the regular whatever that stream is called. I just learned so much just from like just kind of reading random stuff, and I go, oh, and then like you said, I fall down a rabbit hole, and then I go Google something, and then I fall down that rabbit hole, and then and then a couple of hours have passed. But it definitely, I think it's also been really good for people who feel like they didn't have a strong enough voice maybe to create a website and a blog, or maybe they don't want to be social media influencers per se, but it still gives them an avenue. And I really appreciate that from an introverted perspective. So.
Absolutely. I feel like there might be an episode here actually where you and I just share our screens and, smash out this who do you like? Who do you like?
Yeah,
What's your
that'd be
favorite
fun.
prompt? What's your like,
Yeah.
let's put that on
And
the end.
newsletters. We can talk about newsletters too. That'd be fun.
That would be so fun. Back to today's show. So in listening to you over the years, you've got three components. Social media has been a big area of your expertise, and there's talk, listen, engage within that framework. So now that AI has come along, how do you think that changes that whole social media framework situation? Like, what are we going to do to become better listeners and better communicators when we've got something off to the side which can, effectively make us communicate at university level without going?
Yeah, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think, because you shouldn't be kept to an audience just because of an education level. And some people are extraordinary communicators when they speak, but terrible writers. So, why should we hold people to one thing or another that isn't maybe their strong suit? To me, you shouldn't judge somebody just off of one thing or one piece. And so I actually think it's good in amplifying all of those aspects. So it's good at the listening piece because it can actually listen a lot across wider channels and across wider networks than you can as an individual. I think it can broadcast also, so create broadcast messages and speak for you on that wider channel. So that amplification is there as well. But The engagement part, that's where you kind of need to make sure that while you can use technology and AI for that piece. And like I said, if it helps you create sentences where maybe that's not your strong suit, or maybe you're a run-on talking person and you need a little bit of help putting breaths in, so it can help with that. But at the same time, losing that human-to-human connection, otherwise we're just going to have AIs talking to AIs at the end of the day. And I mean, anybody can do that. And then what's the purpose and what's the use? Social media is media, but it's with the social aspect. And the social aspect is part of that attraction that brings people into social media, I think, is, and I think that's why when you have channels like LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook, one of the things that they seem to value in their algorithms are the engagement piece. Do you actually communicate with people and comment with people as well?
Yeah, that's interesting too, because a lot of people just, I mean, still even put stuff on social media without realizing that, commenting is contenting kind of thing. Yeah. So if you don't have a social media strategy, your strategy should be commenting, right?
Yeah, well, I think that should be one of the things you should definitely be thinking about, because it's also part of the listening piece then, isn't it? Because to have a good, interesting comment, you're going to listen to what that person's saying first, and you're going to delve a little bit deeper into who they are first. So I think that's a really important piece as well.
Unless you're on LinkedIn where the AI is suggesting your comments for you these days.
Yes, and tailor them appropriately.
That's right. A human in the loop always. What does an agent brand look like in 2025? And what do you think are the most important tweaks? Like if I was an agent and you were looking at my profile and it was a disaster, what would be the first things that you would tell me to fix?
It's definitely how do you show up, and having that consistency of how you show up across the different channels, not keeping things to one channel, but also thinking about, yes, you might take care of, a certain generation right now, but then who are your prospective buyers and sellers moving forward, or prospective renters and landlords moving forward? So you have to really be thinking future forward as well, because the attraction and the relationship building starts a lot earlier in a journey, before somebody actually realizes that they want to buy, sell, rent, or invest. And so you have to really think about, making sure that you have that consistency. Thinking about what message is it that you want to get across to people? Who are you? What makes you different from other people? And then how are you going to take that and communicate that to other people? And that's where I think things like AI are helpful, is because, I invite people now to take their last 5, 10, 15 reviews, and I'm sure you could come up with a much better prompt than I have, but even just asking something like ChatGPT, what are the common traits that stand out? What is it that, what are certain keywords that people come up with time and again? And when you realize that's why people work with you, that's why people will come back to working with you, then you have that ability to then take that information and pass that along to other people, and really lean into those reasons why people do work with you and do value working with you.
Yeah, that's a really good one actually, and that would be a good one to do with AI too, is just to analyze your Google reviews. And I hadn't thought of that one actually,
There you
because
go.
yeah, it would be good to, you could aggregate them and then maybe come up with a unique value proposition.
Yeah, and have it craft the profile from that. There's all kinds of, we have a at realestate.com.au has a winning formula for sellers. And so, you could plug that in as the here are the top attributes that sellers, look for from their agent. Craft me a profile that has that. Craft me social media messages that include that, right? So people say, oh, I don't have time, or I just can't think of anything new. I mean, that's why we have these helpers there, these assistants there to do that for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So now's the time I get personal with you and and ask you about what's actually on your laptop at the moment, because probably I'm going to ask you some of the questions people always ask me because I figure you'll have interesting answers to them. But okay, so what's your favorite AI right now?
I always go back to ChatGPT. I like Perplexity. I like Claude a lot, but I seem to just, it's easy for me to just quickly, plug something in. So I will have to be really boring and say ChatGPT.
Yeah, no, that's all right. And what about other AI tools? Like, this is a personal one. What's on your laptop at the moment?
Well, it's my work laptop, so not much
Not much.
because I don't
We
have
don't want to get you into trouble.
Well, no, I was just going to say there's nothing really that we have an internal AI called Omnia. So it's like ChatGPT, but it's sans, you know, it's blocked. So from the outside world. And it's really great because you can then ask it like questions that might you can't ask ChatGPT basically, but you still get some really interesting responses. And they've built in the image building now and things like that into it. So from the work perspective, there's that. I use Notion a lot. So, and I've been kind of exploring more some of the things that Notion has built into it from the AI perspective. So I find that that is very helpful for my little squirrel brain, trying to keep all of the different things, you know, all the different bits and pieces and ideas. So when I see, let's say, a link or there's a story and I'm like, that's really good. I want to come back to that or I want to reference that. I put it in Notion. So I have to say Notion is probably one of my favorites that's out there. Do I want to use some of the other ones? Sure, you know, like I'd love to play more with like the Looms and the video AI and things like that. We're exploring some of the not HeyGen, but we're exploring a HeyGen similar concept internally as well. My work partner and I have talked about just getting a HeyGen on the outside just to kind of play around with it and familiarize ourselves more with it because it is amazing technology and we're seeing some amazing stuff happening in real estate with it and how people use it. And so it's really just yeah, those are the things that I'd really like to play around with a lot more. Like especially now that I've saw, did you see in Denmark that I think it's Denmark that they've like if you have an AI avatar that you are protected as well. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
So they've just passed a law that actually will protect your likeness as well, so your avatar. So somebody can't just take your avatar and then feed it a bunch of other like information that's not you. And then put it out there as you. It's basically considered an extension of you. And so that really is interesting to me from a legal perspective, but also from a, oh, okay, so we're finally starting to get protections for this kind of technology that might help us then maybe embrace it a little bit more moving forward.
Yeah, that is really interesting, actually, because I had often wondered how I've been experimenting with avatars as well. In fact, we have an intern journalist, which is about to, her name is Scoop. She's about to be unleashed on the masses. And she can write stories and do interviews and all of that sort of thing, which is pretty interesting. And, you know, I had thought about it. It can't be a real person because if you're going to give it life, it needs to actually be its own person. And then you disappear into a rabbit hole of all sorts of identity issues and stuff like that.
Yes, and personhood and what constitutes a person, and then we get back into robot law from Isaac Asimov, and all the things start happening.
It's much, much safer to just make a talking baby
Yes, exactly.
podcast.
I used to like the technology where you could make your animals sing. So, like, you know, let's just go back to
Yeah,
that.
that was, yeah, absolutely. So, in seeing a bunch of, like, what's the most clever agent use of AI that you've seen? You must have seen, like, in your travels, some clever, innovative things.
Patrick at 414, man. I love him because he is always trying new things, always testing new things. And one of the things that they've done is create AI avatars of all of their agents and including himself. He has virtual assistants over in the Philippines and he sends them basically, they've created prompts for each of these. So, like, very detailed, customized prompts for each agent, like who they are, how they speak. You know, who they're looking for, those kinds of things. And they create scripts for the agents, and then they're using that then for just like basic Q&A, frequently asked questions, those kinds of touch points, or where he said, look, I have to sleep at some point, but my, you know, prospective seller might panic at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night and be like, oh, well, what if this happens? And he's like, now my brain has basically been uploaded into there to some extent anyway, and they should be able to ask that question of me and get me answering it back in the time that they want it, which is the personalization, which is the tailored to the people, still has part of that relationship in there. People do know that they're talking to an AI, but I will tell you, where the technology is now with that HeyGen and all the different avatar companies that are out there, it is extraordinary, to be able to pick up mannerisms and little quirky things that we don't even realize that we do, that they've got that built in. And so that was one of the, I was just like, that is just, that's really smart. And so I really appreciate people who have that, that foresight to try it, and to just see if this is something that they're going to do or not do.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some of the big questions? The questions are getting harder and harder as we go, have you noticed?
So far, have I passed?
This one's a doozy, okay? So, I spend a lot of my time thinking about AI, right? And real estate. And I know that there's a few camps out there. You've got your skeptics, you've got your dabblers, you've got your AI first pro people, you've got even people that just are kind of almost resigned to AI being a thing in the next 5 years and wondering, is there still a place for real estate agents in the transaction? I mean, they're all big questions, but my question to you is, what are the big questions about AI in real estate that you're wrestling with right now that we don't have answers to yet?
I think part of it is seeing things like over in the States where you don't actually have to be present to open a door and walk people through a property anymore. You can do it through a robot or even from an app on your phone with an AI person who helps navigate you through the experience. And people really kind of going, oh, that's amazing. That's extraordinary. I don't have to talk to a real estate agent. When I hear stuff like that, that's what really concerns me because that means that they're not understanding what the value of working with a human agent is at the end of the day. Same with, property managers. There's certain things that definitely can be taken off of their plates by AI. It's just how much until we just take everything off the plate. And we're not going to be able to escape it. So working with it and understanding how to work with it, but then also really being able to clearly define what our value is where we work so that we aren't necessarily immediately replaceable by technology is really important. And part of that is, I was reading something just recently on LinkedIn actually, and it was about the doorman fallacy. And it was, can a doorman be replaced by technology? Absolutely. You press a button, you explain who you are, it automatically looks up a list of people who are or aren't allowed in the building. Door opens, door doesn't open. But then you miss, like, the people who might be hanging around outside the building, or that greeting in the morning of good morning or good afternoon or how are you doing? So all of those pieces, those little pieces of connection, while technically the job is getting done, those little pieces of connection are lost. And what worries me is when people say, oh, I've created this great relationship with with ChatGPT, and you laugh, but you realize that then they're not also understanding what the great human component of having that is as well, of that connection, And so I think those are the things that really I think about that, when I think about AI, I especially think about from a science fiction dystopia standpoint, absolutely. but also from a, how is it that we clearly define who we are, why we are still necessary to a transaction, but because it goes beyond that transaction. If it was just a transaction, then you wouldn't need to be licensed per se. You wouldn't need, there's a whole lot of things that you wouldn't necessarily need to be put in place. But because it's more than that, you need to have the licensing, the education, the continuing education, but then also the piece that understands the humanity piece as well, and that connection piece. And I think that's what really good people in real estate do really well, is they never lose that human touch and they never lose that relationship business or that relationship feeling and that culture underlying everything. People come into work because they want to, not because they have to. Because otherwise you could just do it remotely. You could just do it from home. You could do it, on your phone from wherever. But that piece, that missing piece is coming in and having that connection with people. And so that's what I see.
Yeah, I was actually someone on the podcast. I asked them the question, like, because she's using AI a lot in real estate, but she said something that made me really smile, actually, which was, you know, I'm using AI to automate stuff in the office so that I can, instead of sending a thank you gift via a courier now, I go and take the thank you gift and I sit and have a cup of tea with the person.
I love that.
Yeah, like I was sort of thinking that's, I don't know how better to encapsulate that, but that's it. That's what it's all about.
It is. It's taking that, you know, like realizing that when you ring somebody up, you may be their only point of contact for the day, like human contact. So are you approaching it from that, or are you just approaching it from, okay, well, that's another tick off the list type of thing, right? And yes, you know, I understand some people don't want to talk to you, or maybe that's not a good time. But at the same time, again, it's just that touch point and losing those really nice human things there, the conversations, the, you know, the small little gestures, all of those things mean something to people. And that's where that humanity, I think, really resides.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do want you to come back so that we can sort of just share screens and go battleships with prompts. But what is your favorite go-to prompt at the moment? Like, what is your favorite task to do with an AI?
Help. No.
Mine's therapy.
Just help. So from a work aspect, I find it really helpful for me for helping understand. I'll have concepts in my head, but I won't necessarily know what's the through line. Like, how do I build the story out of this so that I can build something that's a presentation that interests people, captures people's attention. So I will use it for that, to help me kind of better understand connective tissue, basically, between all of those things. And that's really nice because sometimes my brain isn't firing at 100%, or because my brain is on squirrel mode and it's trying to figure out different things and collecting all this kind of useless information. And I'm like, no, we need to focus. So it's very good for that. From a personal aspect, it's really nice to kind of put in schedules sometimes, but also I'm always curious, like, as I feed it more information, I always do little checkups on, like, who do you think I am now? It was really fascinating because when it first, like, you know, drew me a picture basically of who it thought I was, I was like, I had long brown hair pulled back in a ponytail, I had a baby, yeah, all these like things, and I was like, yeah, nope, that's not close to who I am. And so it has transformed over time as it started to kind of get to know me better. And so it's just been kind of really interesting seeing how it adjusts to new inputs of information, new explorations of stuff. Also, I come up with, like, it's not new business ideas, but it's kind of new business ideas, and or even just like social media names and social media stuff. And I'm like, okay, so what if I was this kind of influencer? What would you suggest for this? And where would you go with that? And it's just, I just want to see what it comes up with and what, where the questions go. And I really enjoy seeing what questions it asks me. It's like curiosity feeding curiosity. Like, it's like, oh, that's a good question. Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Oh, yeah, that's a good direction to go. So when I see those things, that's what kind of prompts me to kind of have more questions in general too.
Yeah, amazing. Well, it's been amazing having you here on the podcast with us, Tara. I can't believe that, you know, like, I think I met you like something like 10 or 11 years ago, and it's taken me this long to get you here. So thank you for coming and sharing a bit of your wisdom. And I do hope you come back, because I think, you know, just doing something really practical would be a lot of fun, like two girls nerding out, you know, like what could be more fun than that?
But I know, I was going to say, I'll bring my personal computer.
Yeah, definitely. I always end with one question, and that is, if there was one thing or one, you know, one takeaway that you'd like people to leave this, listening to this podcast today or watching it, because we're now on YouTube as well. And thank you for wearing the on-brand jacket, because that's very, you know, very on-brand with thought leaders. So thank you for that. Anyway, last question. If there was one thing that you would like to leave everyone with, what would it be?
Don't stop learning. Curiosity isn't just kind of one of those innate things that people are either born with or not. It is something that you can cultivate over time. And even if it's just going, why, or sticking around to listen to somebody that you never would have listened to otherwise, or listening to a brand new podcast on something, or, you know, subscribing to a newsletter for a month just to see what new stuff comes up, you know, or a different perspective that you never thought of. I think all of those things are really important, especially in an age of technology. So that would probably be the thing that I would especially emphasize, is just never stop learning.
Yeah, great advice. Tara Christensen, thank you so much.
Thank you.